It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
You catch my drift? All right. Very sadly, I have to change the mood right now. We've just gotten the word of a high school shooting in the state of Michigan in Oakland County. Three people are dead. Others are injured. From what we understand, there's a 15-year-old that's in custody. That could have been he's the alleged shooter here. This is an active situation that's happening right now, and we will keep on top of it, and we will let you know exactly what happens. This is tragic, regardless of what state it's in. This is not a California story. This is a Michigan story, Oxford High School, and it's developing right now. And the undersheriff there, Mike McCabe, is confirming that there are 4 to 6 victims, 3 that we know of for sure. And the scene is currently now active with multiple patrol units, EMS units, SWAT, aviation, everything. The one suspected shooter, again, believed to be about 15 years old, is in custody with a handgun. And the undersheriff says, we don't believe that there are any other shooters at this time. But this is, like I say, something that's very fluid. All right? And as it's seen, you know, the emergency responders are bringing stretchers near the school, and not good. So we'll keep you abreast of that, I promise. Getting back to the failings of San Francisco very, very quickly. In the last hour, I brought this up, Mayor London Breed going nightclubbing again and was videoed, you know, dancing the night away without a mask. He did that in September, and she was hugely criticized. For not obeying her own mandates. And lots of drinks, lots of craziness at a time where her city is failing. It's collapsing. It's going down. Over the weekend, I told you, on the Bay Bridge, there was a driver of a flatbed truck, a tow truck, drove right into approaching cars head on. There's a video out there showing this truck smashing head on into a cop car. 2 weeks ago, a Bay Area woman was shot fatally near the Bay Bridge. Again, this is the Toll Plaza on November 18th. Her fiancé was driving to a job interview. There have been smash-and-grab robberies at Louis Vuitton, Gump's, Burberry, high-end stores all along San Francisco's Union Square. Nordstrom, Walnut Creek, you know about that one. Remember recently, you know, the San Francisco city government temporarily closed In-N-Out. In-N-Out Burger over the company's refusal to force, you know, customers to prove that they're vaccinated against the coronavirus. In-N-Out told the city what they thought of the vaccine mandate. You know, we refuse to become the vaccination police. You know that story. I was all over it. In October, the San Francisco Police Association announced that 120 officers would be placed on leave due to not wanting the COVID-19 vaccine. So they're way down on cops. Mayor Breed also responded in October to the recent retail closures in the city by saying, they were not closing due to crime. However, as the California Globe has pointed out, Walgreens had specifically noted they were closing due to high crime and unreported thefts. And a number of Walgreens closed due to numerous state and city laws discouraging the reporting of thefts over, you know it, $950, which severely lowered how many were, you know, officially reported. So crime is off the graph in the city of San Francisco, as the mayor dances the night away. The district attorney, Chesa Bunon, has steadfastly refused to prosecute most criminals in the city. But instead, prosecutions against police officers have skyrocketed. Only recently, facing a recall election, has she started prosecutions of real crooks. In March, during the San Francisco Budget Committee meeting, it was revealed that the city's Safe Sleeping Villages, these are homeless tent programs, was costing $16.1 million a year, or $5,000 a person a month. Yet the transient population is growing and growing and growing and growing in San Francisco. It's growing commensurately with the decline in tourism, which is off so bad. If the city were to admit it, they would have to admit that the tourism dollars are down by over 60%. What does San Francisco depend upon for It's money, honey. You and I go in there having a good time. The city's richer residents are fleeing to other cities, most notably Fresno. It's one of them on the list. I'm looking at it. This is all attributable to the police defunding efforts, outlandish homeless policies, and the denial by officials to prosecute crime issues. These are verbatim responses from those middle to upper class people leaving San Francisco in big numbers. Twitter, not kind at all to Mayor Breed over this latest transgression. Quote, "The beauty of being a government employee is that no matter how much she sucks, she'll always have a job and she'll always move up the ladder." A former London Breed fan. Somebody posted that on Twitter. Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Mayor Breed dances while San Francisco falls. It's very sad. This, of course, was California's favorite city. This was our gem. This, even though we agreed with its politics, we would always point our finger to San Francisco and say, this is why we are who we are. We are California because of San Francisco and other things, but it was always at the top of the list. Now it's near the bottom of the list. I've not been there in 20 years, you know, and I'm afraid to go. I spent Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Monterey. Prunedale, where my daughter lives, or as they call it, Prunetucky. They also call it it's got a favorable name. And it's a very nice area. I enjoyed myself immensely. But I could see a lot of deterioration in Monterey. Not as much as I expected. Not as much as you would see in San Francisco or L.A. Thank God. Not even nearly as much. But there were things there that didn't quite look right that surprised me in Monterey. I mean, Monterey is tourist time deluxe, you know. And it was almost kind of a relief to see that what I saw was much smaller than I thought I might see in my head. I was imagining all kinds of horrible things just simply because of, you know, it's an attractive area, but apparently the most attractive area is in San Francisco. Why? Because that's where they get the most stuff for nothing, I suppose. And Monterey, much smaller community, is not giving away the town. Thank God. But that is the latest on London Breed, you know, and what she's not doing to save one of the greatest cities in America. What a shame. Hey, today's Daily Buzz question, did President Biden make the right decision? Make the right decision in implementing a travel ban on 8 African countries to slow the spread of the COVID variant? Wow. Let us know at KMJNow.com. The Daily Buzz question is sponsored by the Buzz Allergy, Asthma, and Sinus Centers. All right. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue the Ray Appleton program right here on KMJ. Don't move.
The Ray Appleton Podcast.
Ray Appleton. Now.
Right now.
Click the podcast page.
KMJNow.com.
Coming up, we have stories about the Cuomo brothers. Yeah, we do. And also the Madden Library, Henry Madden. He had a local story that is surprising a lot of people as we look into the life of Henry Madden. Some of the views that he had, some of the affiliations he had. You know, the Henry Madden Library, everybody knows, just about everybody knows, you know, where and what the Henry Madden Library is all about at Fresno State. And it appears that some of the things that Henry Madden were into were not exactly in line with the core values of Fresno State. I'm sure the new president out there is having a cow, and I know my dear, dear friend Joe Castro, who's moved on to bigger and better things. He's like running the whole system now, but I hear from him a lot, him and Mary. He'd be not happy at all. That's coming up, if you haven't heard yet. Got a funny story coming up from, you know, somebody with QAnon. That's a goofy group. drug injection sites to open in New York to prevent overdoses. Always the overreaction, you know. I mean, when here we are in the United States with a number of drug overdoses that we've never seen before, thanks to fentanyl, thanks to the open border, which is the big byproduct of the Biden administration. Fentanyl is coming in by the ton down there. It's just coming in, and people are dying from it. So what do? You give them the opportunity to inject with help in New York. That's what the outgoing New York mayor is all about. And he just did he look into the history of that in the Netherlands and where that went? Obviously, some of you, quite a few of you, pretty sharp when it comes to listening to KMJ. And with Christmas parties happening at home and in the office, I'm getting on, you know, email, ray.appleton@cumulus.com, and on Messenger at Facebook. It's a lot of you find me. That question, Ray, isn't there a company that comes in and does something to your house or your business to prevent COVID from landing there? I seem to recall, yes, you do. It's one of our clients called Sunlight Solutions. Sunlight is spelled S-U-N-L-I-T-E. Just check them out at sunlightsolutions.com. It's a fogging process that will kill for 30 days anything that's viral, including COVID-19, biological, mold spores, all of that. And that's what damn near killed me, was mold spores. That's why I had all of that problem with my lungs. It was mold from a saltwater aquarium, all the equipment beneath the aquarium that I had for over 20 years, and I had to get rid of it. But this, it works. It works. I've had doctors that, that's horse manure, that stuff, and now they're doing it to their office. So, yeah, they come in and they fog your home. You have to leave for about 4 hours. And, you know, it's not harmful to anything else other than what I mentioned. So some of you, a few of you are thinking about having parties at the office and parties at home for Christmas. And this is like all of a sudden an afterthought. Maybe I should have the place fogged. That company that works on the Appleton program, or you advertise on KMJ. Yes. I do it once a month like clockwork in my home. Done. SunlightSolutions.com. Sunlight is spelled S-U-N-L-I-T-E. And there it is, you know. I believe in it. So if you want to give that a roll, that's who you're asking about. All right? Now, this QAnon story is kind of funny. My voice is getting a little craggly. There's this disgruntled QAnon follower. You guys all know about QAnon, right? The big conspiracy group. He's written an open letter to Donald Trump after these numerous predictions made by this conspiracy movement have failed to come true. They came up with some of the goofiest stuff I've ever heard in my life. So this individual, whose name is Donnie Warren, shared this open letter to Donald Trump with a QAnon Telegram group with thousands of followers on Sunday. And in the letter, he spoke over his frustration at the lack of the predictions, over the lack of predictions made by this movement that have come true. And Warren said he'd become more and more involved in QAnon and the conspiracies in January. He anticipated an event called Red October. Now, we talked about Red October, and Red October didn't happen. Red October was this debunked claim that members of what they call a global cabal of elite cannibalistic pedophiles and their enablers around the world would be apprehended in mass arrests. These were people that would sexually abuse children and then eat them. Oh, my God. But none of this was true. Red October, this was all going to come to it? No. So this guy said he started to become very disillusioned after numerous promises of arrests never came. The user said, "We've seen nothing happen. I told a few of my friends, my awake friends, that this would be the best Thanksgiving we ever had, or it was going to be the worst. Guess which one it was? Warren later added, "For months, I've anticipated each day with excitement, knowing that I was watching my president and his crews of patriots take back our country and our freedom. I'm losing excitement now. It's getting very old. I'm not going to be checking in anymore. I'm tired of it." Huh? Now, this guy talked about his own struggles, you know, similar to other people who follow the QAnon conspiracy movement. Warren, you know, continued, "On a level, my wife is struggling physically. On a personal level, she has autoimmune disease, and that is greatly increasing, you know, causing more pain and suffering as the weeks drag on. She could use a med bed. So two of our children who have, you know, taken the vaccine can stay closer to her. They think I'm nuts believing in all of this stuff. How many millions more around the country need a med bed? My family is struggling. So is our country. I've spent all of my time on these conspiracies when I was out, when I should have been out trying to find a med bed." I mean, yeah. When your wife is dying and you want to spend more time on cannibalistic pedophiles being arrested, you got a problem. So I'm glad this guy, you know, got it together. Trump is a major figure in the QAnon conspiracy movement, whether he wants to or not. Many believing that he's going to be returned to office, or actually, you know, still is in the White House. And the whole thing with President Biden is just some sort of false thing. I don't understand that one at all. I read that over and over again, and I couldn't freaking believe it. But all of these claims are unfounded. And they've been debunked. They've never happened, despite numerous predictions over the years, including the rest of the cabal. They love using that word during the inauguration of Joe Biden in January. You know, following Biden's inauguration, the QAnon movement fractured, and its groups latched on to other conspiracy theories, including the unfounded claim that the 2020 election was stolen from Trump. That's where a lot of this came from. Now, it may have been, but it still hasn't been proven sufficiently yet. And it's not good that Donald Trump has endorsed Republicans who have supported some of these baseless claims by QAnon. If he wants to be president again, he's got to dump that stuff in a hurry. You know, and quickly, before news, other QAnon followers have doubled down on beliefs, you know, considered fringe by others in the conspiracy movement. Early in November, a group of QAnon followers gathered in Dealey Plaza, Dallas, in the hope of seeing JFK Jr. alive and ready to announce Trump is the legitimate president. Where did that come from? And you know what Dealey Plaza has to do, obviously, with the Kennedy legacy. Yeah. But when the prediction failed to materialize, on account of JFK has been dead for decades, Jr., many stayed in Dallas in the hope of bearing witness to that great reveal that never came. Wow. I mean, what kind of person buys into this? You know, Dealey Plaza, where Kennedy was killed, the son of, who's been dead for decades, is going to materialize and only to announce Trump as the legitimate president? Okay, moving right along. We're going to do some news. But first, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lisker. Happy birthday to you. It's your birthday today, so says Ray on KMJ.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now.
It's the podcast page.
KMJNow.com.
It's free.
Now, Ray Appleton.
Before we move on with a local story, let me remind you of a couple of things. I mentioned yesterday some supplements that I take and hardly recommended by my doctor. He puts everybody on them to regulate the homocysteine levels in your brain to keep you from getting dementia. I had to think about it. I was doing that on purpose. What's the other one? Alzheimer's disease. Sorry. Shouldn't make fun there. It's just for really good brain health. So you have recall, you can think, all of that stuff. It's great when you get older. I mean, I'm approaching, God, I hate to admit it, 72 years of age, you know, and I'm still in this business where I need to use my brain. But I've been on this stuff since I was in my 30s. And it's just all supplements But homocysteine levels are very, very important, especially in men, to, you know, regulate the brain to ensure that you don't get dementia and Alzheimer's disease and anything else. And it works. It works well. This is harmless stuff. I mean, it's not going to hurt you. And I put it on my Facebook page. Promised I would do that yesterday. I got around to it this morning. It's all there. It's all stuff you can get on Amazon. Check it with your doctor before you go diving into this stuff. And ask your physician about the homocysteine levels, okay, in your head, Fred. Do it. Also, we found an extra pair of Trans-Siberian Orchestra tickets to give away for the show on Thursday at the Save Mart Center. We'll give it away soon, not now. Your name will be at recall at the box office. Will call. What is it? Recall. I got recall on my brain for a couple of politicians I know. You know, will call for the night of the show. So you can just go there, park, and tickets are there. And then we'll have a certificate for a meal, a great place at the Lazy Dog Restaurant and Bar. And we're going to, what? Oh, should we go to that? Yeah, before we go, I've got a guest, and I want to tell you a story. Let's bring up some audio on the shooting of the high school in Michigan. Listen up, and then we'll get to a guest.
You have to, and the school district's done a wonderful job preparing. All the doors over there are marked at the high school. If you've seen them, deputies responded. They knew where to go. We've had assistance from other police agencies nearby.
A 15-year-old is in custody.
Oxford Police Department, other local police departments. The response has been overwhelming. We're still doing a secondary, and we're doing a third search of the high school just to make sure there's no other victims out there. If there's anything else I missed, I can answer. I will answer, and I'll defer.
Tim, was this a student?
Yes, it's a 15-year-old student who was a sophomore at the high school.
Two. Not good. Not good. There is a mural here in town. I've seen it, and I like it. I was kind of surprised to see the story in the newspaper today. Pastor Willie Moore, who owns this building downtown, it features a mural depicting local residents who've been lost to violence. I like the idea. And he's ordered the artwork to be removed because he says it doesn't jive with what the church wants to teach. Yet, I mean, he's the one that asked the artist to throw the stuff up. The name of the church is the Greater Visions All Nations Church. He requested the local artist, paid all this stuff, and that primarily displayed, in his words, the church's name, Bible passages, scriptures. And the pastor said he originally agreed to one or two long portraits or big portraits being included in the mural. And this is at 46 North Blackstone Avenue, by the way. And the mural is called the Hall of Angels. And it features the faces of 13 black and brown residents who were violently killed. And the preacher there says he was disappointed that the mural's focus didn't meet his expectations. You know, and I would say something like that. I mean, when you're dealing with an artist, you may have not been clear on your expectations, you know, what you wanted. Now, this was painted by a local Fresno artist whose name is Omar Super Huerta. And he heard me mention his name earlier, and he got in touch with us. And he's going to join us right now via the telephone on KMJ. Omar, welcome. Good to have you on, sir. How are you?
Good to have you on as well.
Let me ask, when did you paint this, and how long did it take you to paint?
I started painting this mural around, I would say, around 6-7 months ago. Usually it takes me about, you know, 4 to 5 hours per portrait. And there in that location, I have other locations that are similar to that. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, our Angels With Us, and this one was named the Hall of Angels. I actually have quite a few portraits done. I have like around 60 portraits out in Fresno, different locations.
Mm-hmm.
So this one here, I've actually been painting that location for quite some time. I actually had an angel a statue mural painted on that wall previous to the one that I have now. So I've been at that location for quite some time. So I've been there for years painting different murals, but I just changed it all up when I was reached out to by family members, you know, who had lost their loved one.
Right,
so I switched up the mural. I got in touch with Pastor Moore and, you know, told him the idea, and he was all for it. So we went along, you know, we moved forward and started, you know, painting portraits up there.
I've seen your work. I'm hip to it, and I like what you do. And I've seen this one. What is it that Pastor Moore did not like? Because he wants this removed. He says it didn't meet his expectations. Has he explained to you in detail where he thinks you missed the boat on this creation?
There's two walls facing each other there.
Right.
It's pretty obvious of what I was doing. You know, if you look at the wall that's facing it has like, I believe 16 portraits on there.
Mm-hmm.
So when I brought this to his attention, I said, hey, look, you know, there's more family members that would like to get their portrait up there. So do you mind if we take down the Kobe and Gigi mural and if we take down the Angel mural and, you know, we allow these families to have their loved one on this side as well? And he said, yeah, that, you know, that's actually, he was okay with it.
I mean, he approved.
Or else I would not have put right. I would have that moved forward if I didn't get the okay, you know, to do something, you know, for so many people, so many families, so many gatherings that took place, so many, you know, candlelights that took place. So I got the okay to paint the portraits there. You know, that's when I started to reach back to the families who had reached out to me, you know, and started, you know, booking and setting dates for them to come by so they can watch me paint live as it was going up. And so I don't know why the change of heart or the change of, oh, this is not what I wanted. You know, I honestly wasn't even aware that the wall was covered in white. A buddy of mine reached out to me and said, hey, you know, your wall has been covered. And I'm like, why? Who? By who? I had no idea, and then right after, several family members reached out to me, you know, asking me, you know, why this was happening. And I was, you know, as shocked as they were, especially because I didn't have no answers for them. So I was like, whoa, like, what's going on here? You know,
well,
so,
Omar, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard through the grapevine that there were a number of people that would come to this mural and they would remember the victims. They would leave flowers. They would honor it. People would gather there. Is that true?
That's very true. That location there was visited like a lot. I would, you know, through my social media, you know, you get tagged or you get, you know, they add you on the post. So I would receive a lot of notifications of when people are there visiting and, you know, bringing candlelights and actually some of the cases that are still open, like due to gun violence, that was their way of going to court. So they would stop there, visit their, you know, their loved one, go to court and come back and then still visit it. So it was, you know, really a real visited place by all the family members.
Were you paid for this mural?
Yes, I'm a, you know, in the beginning of, you know, me painting local, loved ones for the families, I actually started to donate them in the beginning. I painted the vendor Jose that was murdered over in Tower District.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was in daylight. I started to donate a couple. But, you know, me being a full-on muralist or me being, a full-time tattoo artist as well, I am a hired-on artist, but I did, you know, I do give a reasonable price so that I also feel like I'm helping, you know what I mean? So
of course.
I am a hired-on mural artist. Like, I, you know, anyone can reach out to me for any type of mural. You know, this is the kind of movement that I do. And I try to, you know, have my murals be based on, you know, community or anything that's local and related to us. So yes, I'm a hired on muralist. All of these families, you know, they all hired me to paint these murals. Even Pastor Moore, the murals that I painted there previously, I donated the Kobe and the Gigi. So there's a lot of the murals that I donate, like the Vanessa Gillen mural that I've also painted. Like that was, you know, I was, you know, Some of the community, a lot of the murals that I, you know, donate, the community gets together, we do a fundraiser, and we just get the paint, you know, the cost for the paint,
right.
We do like a GoFund.
Right.
So, and then I donate my time, and donate my artwork, and donate everything else. So, these portraits here, I give reasonable pricing so that more families can get them, you know, so that more families, are welcome to reach out to me and say, hey, you know, we can afford something like that. Can you paint our angel up there? So I always ask, like, hey, you know, if just as long as it's not like, you know, gang related, as long as it's not something that, you know, it's going to, you know, get your mural vandalized, I'm all for it.
Omar, hold on. I have to take a commercial break. Stay right there. Don't go yet. We're going to take a break for a couple of minutes here on KMJ. We'll come back and hear the rest of your story. The mural artist, Omar Huerta, is joining us. He gave us a call when he heard me mention him earlier. And he did a mural as downtown that an individual who owned a church wanted him to do, but the guy didn't like it, and he painted over it. And we're trying to figure out what this whole story is about on KMJ. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now.
Click the podcast page.
KMJnow.com.
It's free.
Continuing on a local story of a mural that was there, and now it's not. The owner of the church and the Pastor Moore, who, you know, basically commissioned the guest that the individual who we're talking to now, Omar Huerta, to do this mural. Didn't like it. Had it covered over. And some in the community are a little upset about this. And Omar, you know, as indicated, as he told us earlier, he does murals. He's a tattoo artist as well, which also caught my attention, as everybody who knows me knows my many, many trips to French Polynesia, the island of Moorea, and to Tahiti. My arms and legs are... I look like a local, you know, a local there, not here. But anyway, moving on from that. Did Pastor Moore give you specific instructions on this mural to do whatever, do this, do that? Did he give you a plan?
No, go ahead.
Did he give you a basic plan, or was it just kind of a sketchy agreement between the two of you?
I mean, like I mentioned before, the wall right across from me already has existing portraits, and I pretty much said I was going to duplicate. You know, I was going to use that wall to do the same thing too. I asked him if he was okay with that, and he said he was. You know, what I was doing is very positive, that he sees all the families that are already visiting, the ones I already have put up there. So he thought that it was a great thing to do, and I told him that in return for him allowing me, that I would paint one of his loved ones, that he can, you know, give me a picture of what, you know, whichever portrait he wanted me to put up for him. And I told him that I would donate that to him, you know, in thanks for allowing me to paint for the other families.
Mm-hmm. And when you do these portraits of other people, obviously you have to get their permission, right? From the family members of the deceased?
Well, the families reach out to me.
Okay. Oh, I remember you saying that. Yes, that's right. Yes.
They tell me their story. They tell me that if it's an open case, they tell me what went on. And, you know, and most of the times we actually have the media cover it. We'll have the newscast come out, and, you know, they share what, you know, they, it helps, you know, for them to, you know, reach out to more people that way. Like, you know, if there's answers out there, this is a way of doing it. You know, this way they reach out back to them and they say, hey, you know, we know something, because, you know, we've seen you putting up your portrait. We recognize the person. We might have information. So it helps. So when I finished with the one wall across from it, you know, that's when I brought it to his attention. Like, hey, you know, like there's more families out here, brother. Like, can we help them by putting up their loved ones here? And in return, I'll paint one for you. And, you know, you just give me the picture, and sure. And I'll put the name of your church. I'll put the name of the church up on top at no cost. I was going to donate that to him. This was my way of saying, you know, I appreciate you allowing me.
All right. I've got to hurry along here because I'm just about out of time. Do you have any idea what is going to replace the mural? Right now the wall is white. Do you have any clue of what's going to go up there?
I have no idea. I was never reached out to in the beginning of, you know, it being removed. I have no idea what the plan is there. I honestly don't want to be involved. I mean, yeah. I kind of took it like that was kind of punch in the gut. So I kind of don't want to be a part of that. I actually have two other locations. I will say before we run out of time, I actually have two other locations where all those angels that got taken down, I received donations. I'm going to put them all up again at no cost. I'm going to be donating all 13 portraits for the families. I feel like they need to have their loved one put up, and if, you know, if this was something that happened that got, like, you know, got in the way or whatever his reasons may be, I honestly, we moved on forward. We're going to put their angels all over again.
Okay.
And like I said, I'm going to donate all my time to make this happen.
Omar, if somebody,
yes, sir,
wants to get a hold of you and have them do a wall for themselves or whatever it is they need, how do they find you? Also, I understand you also have a GoFundMe page for paint supplies. So give us all that information, please.
They can reach out to me on my Facebook under the name of Omar Huerta, or my Instagram, The Real Super Tat.
Okay.
Or my phone number, which is 559-940-0604. I'm open
for any ideas. I'm open for anyone, you know, anyone that wants to reach out to me. Like, I'm all for it. The GoFundMe is on my Omar Huerta Facebook.
Gotcha. And the phone number again is 940-0604, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, Omar. Nice meeting you over the telephone. I wish you luck. Wish this could have worked out, you know, but we'll be looking for your portraits in Fresno.
Things happen down the way. We just have to make things better. It doesn't matter what the situation is. It's paint on the wall. You know, we can always re-emplace murals. We can always change murals. We can always relocate them. You know, as long as the movement is there, as long as the positive, idea is there, then I'm all for it.
I think paint on a wall is something that does bring people together of all colors. And we need more of that.
It helps.
More of that, yeah, in the way of understanding.
Yes, I have a lot more. I have a lot more coming up. I have a lot more murals coming up, a lot of them that I'm donating. So there's quite a few. So I'm going to, I'm for sure going to be keeping everyone stoked this summer coming up or before the summer. Like, I have at least 15 murals coming up.
Wow. Going to be a busy boy. Omar, I got to run. Thank you very much for joining us. Good luck to you, and we'll talk to you down the road. All right? Stay safe.
Thank you. Have a great day, everyone.
All right. Bye-bye. That's Omar Super Huerta on KMJ. The artist who did this mural that exists no more. But a lot of his work is all over the place. If you look for it, you'll find it. And go to his Facebook page to find out more about where, you know, some of the locations are so you can see what he does. And also, if you want to give him a hand on his GoFundMe page for paints and all that supplies. I mean, that takes a lot of paint and a lot of money for the paint to do, like, the wall of a building. Yeah, big time. Hour number three coming up on KMJ. We've got to talk about this name from Fresno's history, Henry Madden, and we'll do that next.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.